Today's first of three readings is from James. But ask in faith, never doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord. The second reading is from Jude. Be merciful to those who doubt. The final reading is from Hebrews. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, I invite you to take out your outline for the message this morning. And at different places, I'm going to have you join in looking at some of these scriptures that are listed on the back that you just heard read a moment ago, and maybe even read some of these together. Most Sundays, when I deliver the sermon, it's for everybody. It's with all kinds of people in mind, people who've been in the church a long time, maybe somebody who's never been in church. It's their first time. But today, the sermon is not for everybody. The sermon is for you, our confirmation class. And I invite you to listen in. Maybe you'll find some points of relevance with your life. Maybe you'll find some things interesting. Maybe you'll find yourself drawn into the sermon in a different way when it's not necessarily directed to you or for you, but as part of the future of our church, if you will. So let's begin with the most popular children's movie in 2005. Anybody remember that? You guys remember that? Most of you were about 1 year old, weren't you? Remember what it was? It was the first movie adaptation of the Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Did you, any of you see that growing up? Did you watch that? A few of you did. Good. It's that magical tale that was written years ago about four children who had to leave London during World War II to be taken to a place of safety. And in the home where they go to live, there is this wardrobe closet standing in an upstairs bedroom. And it becomes like a portal, a doorway to this magical world where animals can talk. But it's a world that's ruled by a witch. And the only one more powerful than the witch is the lion named Aslan. And it's a story that has forgiveness and redemption and even resurrection, because at the end of the story, the lion gives his life for one of the children, kind of an exchange with the witch. It was an agreement they made that was based on old magic. And the children are so sad when the lion dies, but then the lion comes back to life. And I love this statement at the end of the story when the kids say, "How could you be back to life again?" And the lion says, "Well, the witch didn't know about a much older magic." Now, why is this tale told? It was written by a man named C.S. Lewis, and I talked about him on Easter Sunday. He wrote the story to communicate the Christian faith to children in a way they could understand what are really complicated notions of faith. You see, C.S. Lewis, when he was a young adult and he went to university, he left the faith of his childhood that he grew up with. He couldn't believe it. He said, "Oh, I just can't make sense of that." But later in life, he not only came back to that faith, he defended that faith. We call that being an apologist. Doesn't mean he was apologizing for the faith. He was explaining it. But he wrote books and articles that were very intellectual. He appealed to philosophers, and he got so much in his intellect explaining the faith that he realized, "I'm starting to lose something. I'm starting to lose what drew me back into the faith, the mystery that can't be explained." And so he wrote children's stories. Now, why am I talking to you guys about that today? Because C.S. Lewis was somebody who went through a strong period of doubt to return to a place of faith. And he wrote these stories so that children might read them and have something inside of them that if they went through periods of doubt, that they might wrestle with concepts of the faith that would resonate with something inside of them that they say, no, no, I can't explain it completely, but I just think there's something there that's true and that's real. This is a group of young people who have taken this process very seriously this year. They've taken the process of learning about the Christian faith and being a member of the church earnestly. One of the things their leader, Heather Campbell, has done every week as a part of their learning since last September is to have a question jar available. And you guys wrote questions every week and you put in the question jar things that you're struggling with. I want you to listen to some of their questions that were put in the question jar. How do you deal with doubt? How can you believe in God when you've lived a tough life? Why do people suffer? Why do we say God created the perfect world when there's so much imperfection? How do God and science fit together? What if I don't want to live forever? Those are big questions, aren't they? Do you share any of those questions? Could some of those be your questions? You know, on the surface, the Bible doesn't seem to be real friendly with people who doubt. I want you to turn to the back side of your outline if you got a bullet. You guys didn't get one, did you? You don't have an outline, do you? Sorry. All right, you speak on behalf of the kids today. Turn to the back of your outline, and I want you to read with me the verse we heard a moment ago from James chapter 1, 6 through 8. Let's all say together, "But ask in faith, never doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the doubter, being double-minded and unstable in every way, must not expect to receive anything from the Lord." Now that doesn't seem real friendly, does it, toward doubters? But we need to remember this. The word doubt in the New Testament does not have anything to do with asking questions. The word literally means to be divided, as if you're trying to go in two directions at the same time. That's what doubt means. It's impossible to do that, isn't it? And what is being implied is that in the life of faith, at some point we have to turn and we have to pursue faith. We can ask our questions, we can be uncertain about some things, but pursue it earnestly, much like you guys have done in confirmation. So look at this other verse from Jude, verse 22. "Be merciful to those who doubt." The Bible gives room to people who aren't certain. The Bible allows for doubts. It just says, don't let your doubts ever keep you from asking questions and struggling with it. If you think about it this way, would God really want somebody who just says, oh, I believe, I accept all of that, but it doesn't make any difference in their lives? Do you think God would want somebody who says, I believe, but they live sort of a half-hearted faith, maybe just when it's convenient? Or would God want somebody who takes it very seriously and it makes an impact on the way they live, even when they have questions? Jesus told a parable about that one day. He said, a father had two sons, and he said to both of them, now I've got your chores for you to do today. And the first son said, oh, Dad, I'll get to it right away. But he didn't do anything. He never did the chores. And the other son, well, he was brutally honest. Maybe some of you have had a son like this. He says, I'm not doing your stinking chores. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm not going to do it. I don't recommend that as a tactic to respond to your parents. But you see, he went off and he thought about it. He continued to wrestle with it. And then he felt bad and he went and did the chores. And Jesus ends the story and he says, now, which one of the two proved to do the Father's will? You see, in terms of faith, Jesus is saying God isn't interested in people who just say things for the sake of saying them. God wants people who are honest, who will admit what they're struggling with, who will say, I don't know that I accept that. I don't know that I'm going to do that. But they'll keep thinking about it. They'll keep struggling with it because that can make an impact on the way they live. So with that in mind, I want to think for a few minutes before we celebrate your confirmation this morning about some important things to understand about faith. And one of the first things to understand about faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Let me share two quotes with you. The first quote is from poet Alfred Tennyson. He says, "There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds." And the second quote comes from my favorite theologian, Paul Tillich. And I'll be honest with you, when I read Paul Tillich in seminary, I didn't understand most of what he wrote, but what I understood, I really liked. And this is one of those statements. Paul Tillich said, "Doubt is not the opposite of faith, it's an element of faith." Now, how could that be? Here's what I think both of these men were saying. Faith is that part of us that searches for what is true and real. It's that part inside of all of us that doesn't just accept what we're told at face value. It makes us pry away at it and say, is that true? Is that real? And when something steps in and says, I am what you can base your life on, doubt is what makes us pry away and say, I want to understand how that's true. In other words, anything that would take the place of God, doubt says, I want to know that that is true. You see, if we never doubt, guess what happens? We'll believe anything. A faith that never doubts is not ideal believing. It's a path to being a sucker, because we'll fall for anything. But let me tell you this, confirmands. You can take the Bible and you can say, I don't know that I believe most of what is in this book. I'm going to throw it out. I don't know that I believe in the church. Sometimes I think it's all a sham. I'm never going to go. You can do that. But that doesn't change the truth about God. And it doesn't change the truth about you and me. Because we will all believe something in our lives. We will. We will all believe something, and what we believe will determine who we become. Here's another important thing to understand about faith. Faith is fed in community. Faith is fed in community. If you go back to that verse from Hebrews, the second part of the verse is what I want to pay attention to. First, it says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. The writer says, don't give up meeting together because there's power in that. Have you ever thought in your learning this year that there's no concept of Christianity apart from community? There's not a story about somebody coming to believe in Jesus Christ out alone somewhere. It's always together with others. That's how the disciples came to believe. When Jesus spoke to the disciples, what did he say to them? Believe in me. No. He said, follow me. Follow me in a community of other followers. And as they got to know Jesus, as they spent time with Jesus, then they came to believe. You guys are already experiencing that. Last night at the banquet, I heard you tell the stories about how your life has been impacted through each other. You talked about that. Your small group leaders who are sitting behind you talked about what it did in their lives to be a part of a little group of so many of you, for they've all been divided into these small groups. And those leaders said, it's been one of the best things that's happened in my life this year to get around these young people and hear their questions and share life with them. Even Doug said, I was the shortest one in my group. I'm glad they didn't beat me up. They protected him. They looked out for him. That's the way church is meant to be lived out. Now, guys, I'd be less than truthful if I didn't say that I wish you would be in church the rest of your lives. That you were in church every Sunday, that you were in a congregation somewhere. I mean, I would want that for you because I believe that'll help bring out the best in you. But you know what I know is that the facts say otherwise. The facts say so many of you are going to wander away from church. And I've always struggled with that as a pastor. I've always thought, how do we get you to want to come to church all the time? And I've started to wonder, is part of the journey that for some people, they have to wander away for a while to understand what they really believe. But let me tell you this. If you really do hold on to something inside of you that says, I want to believe that there is a God in charge in this world, stay plugged in to a community of faith that will make it safe for you to ask your questions. Stay in touch with a church that is not just going to tell you the answers you're supposed to have, but they're going to let you ask your questions, because that's going to bring you to a place that will transform your lives. One more observation about faith. Faith is for more than just us. Your faith is not just for you. Go back to Hebrews. Right before the writer talked about, make sure you don't neglect the habit of meeting together. Listen to what the writer said. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Why did the writer of Hebrews say, now make sure you stay together in the church? It wasn't so that we'll have big attendance numbers. It wasn't so that we just have a lot of attendance to report. It's so that you can build up people for love and good works, for service to others. Your faith is not just about giving you a place of more comfort. It's about how God wants to use your life to change the world, and God does. God has a purpose for every one of you. God wants to use you to go out of these doors and to be about righting the wrongs in our world, to help overcome the injustice in our world, to love the unlovable in our world. God wants to use you to do that. And God wants to use you. In fact, if I had a moment just to talk to the rest of our church, I would say, could there be anything more important for us to do as a church than to help plant the seeds of faith in our children? Could there be? When you walk out of these doors in a moment, you're going to see some volunteers standing by a table with sign-ups for people to volunteer at our children's camps that in a little over a month are going to kick off. Soon as school ends, our camps will get going. And we need a lot of volunteers. And I'll promise you, if you volunteer, if you find out what they need, how you can serve to help, it will bless your life. It'll change you. Because there's nothing more important we can be doing as a church. And I hope after worship today, you'll head straight to those tables to say, what do you need? I'll give you a few hours for a week coming up in June or July. Let me know what I can do to help. Because faith, it's not just for us. Dave and Marianne Lear are sitting back here, and they didn't know I was going to call on them this morning. But their daughter recently wrote a book called A Single Bead. When we were driving back, my wife and I, from Kansas this week, my wife read this in the car, and then she shared the story with me. It's a fictional story. It's about a young girl about your age who grew up in her church, a Catholic church. And she didn't believe in a lot of what went on in the Catholic church. She really had a hard time with the idea of the rosary, praying with beads. She just thought, you know, all of this was a bunch of nonsense. She just had a hard time believing it. And the story begins in this book with her family visiting the crash site where a plane crashed that her grandmother was on. And while they were standing there, she felt something inside of her saying, I want you to walk over to the woods a long distance away. And she went over to the woods and looked down on the ground, and guess what was there? This little bead. And the bead had her initials on it. And she realized, oh my goodness, that was from my grandmother's rosary. That would have been the bead that her grandmother used to pray for her all the time. And it leads to lots of other stories of other people who found some of these beads, and the initials that were on those beads matched their initials or other people they knew. And what she found was she experienced miracle story after miracle story, just like the miracle of her discovering the bead. And it did something for her faith, but even better than that, She became the person who was able to help her mother because it was her mother who died. And her mother went into such grief she couldn't come out of it. And so she told her mom all these stories of faith that had to do with her mother's rosary. And that was the way that her mother was able to find healing. Now, it's a fictional story. It's not based on a true story, but it is based on truth. And that is, when you crack open the door of faith, and maybe not begin with your questions. Can I believe? Is this real? But begin with, what can I do for other people? How can I be a source of hope for other people? How can I help encourage them with love and good works? What can I do for others? I believe you will find that your faith gets restored. Your hope comes to you. As you give hope, you'll find hope. And my prayer for you is that for the rest of your lives, you'll not just believe in God, you'll know how much God believes in you. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and loving God, we pray for all of these young people today who are taking this important step and responding to that call to be members of your church. We pray that it is a beginning, a journey that will continue with you as they understand the importance of faith in their lives, and especially the importance of being a part of the telling of your story for all people. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. So, confirmands, I'll now ask you to go and get in position as Heather also comes up, and in a moment she'll be sharing about the class this year. But first, Pastor Eric will open us with the words of our confirmation liturgy.
In Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared in our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and reaffirm our commitment to Christ's holy church.
My name is Heather Campbell, and it is my great pleasure to serve St. Luke's as the middle school youth director, serving students grades 5 through 8 and their families, including directing confirmation for 7th grade. Confirmation is a journey for teenagers to confirm their faith, to connect their faith story to the church, and a milestone where students commit to grow as a disciple of Christ for the transformation of the world. At St. Luke's, confirmation is a major milestone in the life of a middle schooler. Confirmands joined a small group that met weekly on Sunday mornings to reflect on teaching, to ask questions about faith, to pray for one another, and to support one another in their journey to discover their part in God's story. Students will be confirmed today in those small groups. In addition to Sunday morning small groups, confirmands received additional support. The church prayed for them at the beginning of their journey in August. Small group leaders provided a safe place to process what they were learning. High school student leaders helped them connect by sharing stories at a peer level. Mentors met with them monthly to nurture them through their journey. And the ministry staff helped by teaching them every Sunday morning as they grew in their faith. If you are a mentor, small group leader, high school student leader, or a confirmation teacher, please stand. Making an impact on our middle school students. My hope is that as these students continue in their faith journeys and pledge their membership to the church today, that you will continue to walk alongside them as members of this community. I love these students so much, and I'm just overjoyed by the support that this church has given them. A big theme for this year for this confirmation group has been this idea of how doubt plays into our faith. I think all of us in the church can admit that we have questions about God, that sometimes things just don't add up. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 is a verse I've shared with the confirmands repeatedly, and it says that faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance in the things that we don't see. What I love about this verse is that it acknowledges that there are things we have no more than hope in, and there are things that we don't see. But faith is composed of those things. And so faith is when we say, I doubt some things, I have some questions, but I choose to believe anyway. So for a student to join a community of faith says that they will not choose to believe on their own. They're committing to join this church today so that you can help them grow in faith. So Pastor Rob and Pastor Eric and members of St. Luke's, I introduce to you the following candidates for baptism and confirmation.
So confirmands, I'm going to ask if you would turn and face us. And for those who've been previously baptized, do you in the presence of God in this congregation renew the solemn vow and promise made at your baptism? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
And now to all the candidates, do you truly and earnestly repent of your sins? Please say, I do.
I do.
Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Please say, I believe in God the Father.
I believe in God the Father.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Say, I believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Say, I believe in the Holy Spirit.
I believe in the Holy Spirit.
And do you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testament? Say, I do.
I do.
And do you promise, according to the grace given you, to keep God's holy will and commandments and walk in the same all the days of your life as faithful members of Christ's holy church? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
And now will those who are to be baptized please come forward.
Friends, we remember how in the waters of baptism we are adopted into God's holy family.
We invite the parents, family members of your son or daughter to come and stand with them and lay your hands on. Billy, do you desire to be baptized in this faith?
Yes.
Would you please kneel? Billy Bellevins, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Congratulations, Billy. Elliot, do you desire to be baptized in this faith? Would you please kneel? Elliot Gangwer Adams, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations. McKenna, do you desire to be baptized in this faith?
Yes.
McKenna Mitchell, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Congratulations. Well, members of the confirmation class, I'll ask you to go and get in position to come and be confirmed. And as they go around to get into place, I'll let you know that as each student comes and kneels, we invite all of their family here and any members of the church who might have a relationship with that student or with their family to stand when they are confirmed. And Pastor Eric and I will say the words of confirmation that end with amen. And what we'd like to do is have everybody in the congregation say boldly the amen together. So let the students come. Blake Williams, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen.
Amen.
Chase Golden, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.
Amen. Cole Langston, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Ethan Schottmeyer, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Garrett Mowry, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Henry Kofer, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Jaden Epps, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Jake Hayes, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Trevor Talev, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Caroline Thoman, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Emmeline Papp, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. McKenna Mitchell, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Micah Bellamy, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Noel Clark, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ilana Seitz, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Aiden Hughes, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Alex Wolf, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Billy Blevins, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Elliot Gangwer Adams, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Graham Seaver, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jacob Goodspeed, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Jacob Lemming, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Eloise, do you desire to be baptized in this faith?
Thank you.
Please kneel. Let's place our hands on. Eloise Albus, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said.
Amen.
Ian, do you desire to be baptized in this faith?
I do.
Would you please kneel? Ian Harris, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Maddie, do you desire to be baptized in this faith? Would you please kneel? Maddie Hoskin, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said.
Amen. Amen.
Avery, do you desire to be baptized in this faith? Would you please kneel? Avery Sellers, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you can go back and join the group. And now, confirmands, I ask you to go and to get into position to be confirmed into the church. And as they go to do that, in a moment, each of the students will come one at a time and they will kneel. And we will say the words of confirmation over them. Pastor Eric and I will go back and forth. After each one, the statement ends with the amen. And we invite all of the community to say that together. And after the first one or two, you'll get the hang of it. Shout it out. Let them feel the surrounding of the church as they do this. When each person kneels, if you know that child or you have a relationship with that family member, we invite you to stand as a sign of support. And then when the child rises to go and stand back with the group, then you can be seated as the next one comes forth. Would you kneel? Allison Wallowinder, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. And the people said, Amen. Amen.
Audrey Eikenberry, the Lord defend you with his grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Ellie Marker, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Eloise Alves, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Iris Bailey, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Anna Hoffman, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Brent Smith, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Lily Rose, the Lord defend you with his whole heavenly grace and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Samantha Cook, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Aidan Kirby, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Bauer Rhodes, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Bo Marker, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Chad Becker, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now don't get weak on those amens, congregation.
Cooper Rigney, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
George Irwin, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Ian Harris, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Jack Hsu, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Steele Staley, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Avery Sellers, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Jennifer Oldfather, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Maddie Hoskin, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Piper Murphy, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Zoe Moore, the Lord defend you with his heavenly grace, and by his Spirit confirm you in the faith and fellowship of all true disciples of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And now, confirmands with certificates in hand, I ask you one further question. Will you be loyal to St. Luke's United Methodist Church and uphold it by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, please shout out, "We will." And now I'm going to have you turn and face the congregation.
Well, brothers and sisters in faith, we have, it is our opportunity to express our own love and just affirmation and support of these persons who are joining with all of us in fellowship here at St. Luke's United Methodist Church. We have the continued power to help increase their faith, confirm their hope, and to hold them up, to perfect them in love. And so I invite you to join with me as we affirm our own faith in support of them. We rejoice to recognize you as members of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to St. Luke's United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold you by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ, that surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal.
Now, after the students go out, Eric and I will remain up here, so we won't have a chance to greet everybody, but we want to be available to take pictures for family members. If you want to make your way back in, we'll be glad to do that. Last night, when we had our rehearsal in here and then went into our banquet, the last thing we did was we all huddled along with the others who were confirmed at 9:30. It was a really big group. We talked about the significance of God's call on our lives, the call to be a part of God's family, the call they took today to accept that and join the church, then the call to serve as leaders in the church and in the world. And I asked them, I said, are there any people in confirmation class you could see being a pastor one day? And they pointed out about, what, eight? You guys pointed out about seven or eight people, and we brought them to the middle, and we all laid hands, and we prayed for them. Now, not just those seven or eight, I think any of these young people could maybe be our pastor one day. They're certainly going to be leaders in the church. And I'm thankful for the atmosphere of openness, the inclusion of all people that we value at St. Luke's, but in a context of faithfulness to Jesus Christ, which will happen in the lives of these people. So one more time, as they get ready to go through those doors as a sign of their getting ready to go out into the world, let's congratulate them once again.